1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, driven by MotorCarsOnline.com, joined on the phone once again by a past guest of the Rocker Morning Show with his brand new PBS documentary, The American Revolution, years in the making. Welcome back to the Rocker Morning Show, Ken Burns. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Ken, how you been, man?
I've been great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was great talking to you again, sir. And the first time we spoke, you had mentioned that you were making this documentary that's finally out now. How long did this whole process take to make this film?
Basically 10 years.
Wow.
By the time I said yes, when I said yes to this in December of 2015, Barack Obama had 13 months to go in his presidency. When we broadcast it, the first premiere was in November on PBS. So that's 9 years and 11 months. And boy, there's lots of water under the American bridge, but we've, you know, stuck to calling balls and strikes and tell the story of our founding, which I think will be inspirational to people, regardless of their political affiliations or where they live or how old they are, just because as we approach the semi-quincentennial, our 250th anniversary, it's super important to know where we came from, all the complex stories that went into the creation of the United States.
This discusses the topic now, as you said, nearly 250 years old. How challenging was it compared to, say, the Civil War documentary in terms of gathering info?
They're all challenging in their own way and all have complicated aspects to them that make us figure out how we have to recalibrate. Access to information is okay, but what we don't have, obviously, for the American Revolution are any photographs or newsreels.
Right.
So where the Civil War benefited from thousands of still photographs and our films on World War II and Vietnam obviously not only had tens of thousands of photographs, but also hundreds of hours of footage, this only has paintings. And so I did something that I have tried to avoid and mostly have avoided, which is reenactments. And in this case, for 7 years, we followed around reenactors from Maine to Georgia, dressed in English, dressed in French, dressed in American militia, dressed in Continental, dressed in Loyalist, dressed in Native American, dressed in whatever, and just watch them do what they did from afar, from a drone, high up above, intimately as they're re-sewing their garments or firing a musket. And so we're not having them reenact a particular battle, but we're giving us a critical mass of images that we can use to replace the absence of photographs and newsreels. And so we treat them very much in a painterly way, and then we bring the paintings to life, and we bring the live cinematography to give you a sense of what the topography was. It was a huge challenge, but it's exhilarating to kind of come out on the other side and see the response when we premiered in November has just been overwhelming. For the first time in PBS's history, they broke into the top 10 of streaming shows.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just flabbergasting that happened. 565 million minutes of viewing this just, and that was end of November, early December calibration. So there's been a lot more because it's been available for screening. And now this month, PBS is running it, and then it'll run again in April. And then they'll do a marathon in the days leading up to July 4th in late June. So it's very exciting. People get a chance to see it. We've done a lot of educational work with it for years and years and years, thanks to a grant from the Kern Family Foundation in Wisconsin. And so school kids are already beginning to use it, scenes, lesson plans, questions, teachers' guides, and it's very exciting. And I might add, today I got up and for no reason at all put on my retro Detroit PBS t-shirt, and suddenly when I started talking to you, I went, oh my God, it's so appropriate. I was in Detroit talking to inner city kids about this in the fall, the early fall, and I'm very excited to be talking to you and sharing the story of the work that we've done. You know, we calling balls and strikes, as I said, and just telling people what happened.
No doubt. I found it fascinating when we look back at these wars, how different things could have been had one decision been made. To reference two of your documentaries, first, the American Revolution, the story of how General Cornwallis had 10,000 men while Washington had 3,000 tired men, exhausted, and yet Washington was able to escape because General Howe basically gave Cornwallis the order not to pursue. It really reminds me of that Civil War story where Special Order 191 for Robert E. Lee's Maryland battle plans were found wrapped in cigars and given to General George McClellan for the Union. who did nothing when he could have most likely ended the war. It's wild how many stories like that there are.
It's throughout, and it's sort of like that time traveling, you know, a butterfly flaps his wings and changes everything. And so there are lots of moments where it could have gone the other way. I mean, Washington loses way, way more battles than he wins, but he knows not to get caught. He knows not to surrender. And so what happens is he's the perfect leader of an insurrectionary army, as the historian Jane Kaminsky says in the film. And then Joe Ellis comes in and says, he just comes to this fundamental thing. The British have to win. I don't have to win. I just can't lose, meaning everything. And so the world, I mean, one of the reasons the French come in is obviously we declared independence. Obviously, we won a major battle that Washington really had nothing to do with other than sending his two best generals, Benedict Arnold and Daniel Morgan, up to Saratoga. But they're impressed that he's been able to hold off the British army. And they, on their part, are kind of reluctant. Sometimes Howe is, we think, either cowardice or maybe just saying, I'm not really excited about killing my fellow British subjects. And so there's moments at White Plains, there's moments in the Battle of Long Island, both huge losses for us, where they could have pursued us and wrapped us up and didn't. And so there, but for the grace of God, goes the United States of America.
Man, you know, it really stood out for me. It must have been so stressful for both armies, generals in both armies, to have to share intelligence, just the struggle to share intelligence and also be aware of spies within each other's camps.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And we think somehow that you know, Ian Fleming invented spies. There have been spies for as long as there have been human beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nathan Hale, who we know about, who's hung just after New York falls, and is supposed to have said, we don't think he actually did, I regret that I have but one life to live for my country. He's a spy. He's a super spy for Washington. And the guy who's controlling on the British side, Benedict Arnold, Major John Andre, is traveling in civilian clothes. And so when he's caught with incriminating information, he's hung instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Benedict Arnold gets away. The real criminal gets away after betraying his country and his general and his everything else. But it's a great and interesting story. You meet him and he's nothing but a good general for all of the film until the last episode. And then he's not. He's Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
So many rich stories.
And that is a very interesting topic, too, especially the Washington Culper Ring, because that wasn't even discovered till like 90 years ago.
That's right. And this is what happens. We've benefited from extraordinary new scholarship as we made this film over the last 10 years. And it's enriched it with regard to Native American, with regard to military things, with regard to just the personalities of people. We're constantly learning new things about the past. We think the past is fixed. The past is really malleable as we discover new information or new paintings, new images, new drawings, new diaries. Things turn up and it just adds to the richness of the stories that we can tell about our founding.
Yeah, it was an excellent documentary. Are there any projects that you're working on currently?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things. I've been working for many years on a history of Reconstruction, the period after the Civil War. We're doing one on LBJ and the Great Society, a sort of inside out of the Vietnam War film that we did, and many, many others. Can't wait to share them with you.
Awesome. We look forward to it. And again, The American Revolution, it's streaming now on PBS. You guys definitely want to check it out. It's integral to know where we came from. And Ken Burns, you always do a fantastic job with these documentaries. And check it out right now. Great talking to you again, man. We look forward to seeing you again.
My pleasure, Mark.